Well, good evening. I greet all of you, but especially those of you who are celebrating your wedding anniversaries. How many of you have been married 50 years or more? Quite a few. 25 years and less. How many of you have been married for just a few years? Okay, very, very good. I'd like to do two things. I'd like to talk a little bit about the church's understanding of marriage, and then speak about today's scripture reading. I think I can connect one with the other. So first of all, about the sacrament of matrimony. Those of us who are older, those of you who are celebrating your 50th wedding anniversary, probably remember the Baltimore Catechism and the questions that we memorized back in those days. And one of the questions that was always on the catechetical exams is, what is a sacrament? And I bet I could start the answer to that, and most of you here who are older could answer. A sacrament is an outward sign instituted by Christ to give grace. Now, if I say to you, what does that mean? It might make you nervous. You know, so many things in the church are things that we have memorized, but we don't necessarily understand what they really mean. And because of that, we have sometimes not done a very good job of passing on the faith to the next generation. Because in order to do that, we have to have confidence in what the faith of the church actually is. So I'd like to talk about what a sacrament is. First of all, to understand a sacrament, we have to understand a little bit about the mind and heart of God, which is impossible to do unless God tells us what his heart and his mind is like. And those of us who are Christians believe that God has done that, that God is anxious for us to both know him and to love him. And we have a God who comes to us in order to make himself known, because he loves us. And we believe that God makes himself known to his people in two ways that are closely related. One of those ways is through his word, the scriptures. We believe that the scriptures are God's lesson to you and to me about himself. So we can listen to the scriptures and come to know what God is like as we meet God in the scriptures. When the gospel was read from this pulpit, it was not only read by the deacon, but the deacon was voicing the voice of God to us. So God comes to us in the scriptures. But Catholics also believe that God comes to us in the sacraments, which are outward signs. It means things that we can see with our eyes that were instituted by Christ, which means that Jesus gave them as a gift to us, to give us grace. And grace is a technical word that means gives us a share in his own life or the life of God. So the sacraments are things that we can see through which Christ comes to us to give us a share in his life and his love. Now, let's look at the sacraments very quickly. The sacrament of baptism. What is the outward sign? Water. And what does water do for us as human beings? It washes our bodies, but also, and more importantly, it gives us life, because if we don't drink, we become dehydrated and we eventually die. So when Jesus gives himself to us under the form of water in the sacrament of baptism, he's giving himself to us to wash us clean of our sins and to give us life. Okay? So you understand, we meet Jesus in the sacrament of baptism. In the Eucharist, what's the outward sign? Bread and wine, which become his body and blood. So Jesus comes to us transforming the bread into his body and the wine into his blood, and gives us a share in his life. Okay? So far, so good. So the outward sign is something you can see that Jesus establishes that gives us a share in his life. In the sacrament of matrimony, which you celebrated 50 years ago or 25 years ago or less or more, what is the outward sign through which Jesus comes to us? In Mass, it's the bread and wine. In baptism, it's water. What is it in marriage? Each other. God, Jesus Christ, gives himself to you in the sacrament of matrimony through your wife. And Jesus gives himself to you in the sacrament of matrimony through your husband. So you, each of you in marriage, are the sacrament. You're the outward sign that Jesus now uses to give you and your spouse a share in his life. That is huge, right? I mean, to be the living symbol of Jesus Christ in the world and in the church, and more importantly, in your family, is absolutely wonderful and very, very important. And that's why, when you get married in the Catholic Church, you promise to love one another in the same way that Jesus loves his church. And what was the way through which Jesus loves his church? Right here, the cross. The cross is at the center of our Christian life because it is the symbol of Jesus' complete self-giving for us. He died on the cross in sacrificial love. And that's how you're supposed to love your wife if you're going to be the symbol of Jesus Christ. You have to love your wife in a sacrificial kind of way. That's the way you're supposed to love your husband, to be a symbol to him and to the rest of us in the church of Christ's sacrificial love. Now, the question I want to ask you is, have you done that for the last 50 years or not? Most days it's not, right? I mean, I think you struggle, as you should, to become a clear symbol of Christ's love. But there's something in our human heart that makes us love ourselves more than anyone else, more than our spouse, even more than our children. We have this thing called original sin that gets in the way of us giving ourselves away in love to our spouses. And that's why every year, on the anniversary of your marriage, you celebrate. Not because of what happened 50 years ago, but what re-happens when you celebrate the anniversary. You commit yourself again to loving your spouse in the way that Jesus loves his church. Now, this is why we don't have divorce in the Catholic Church, because Jesus never divorces us, even if we deserve it. You know, we walk away from Jesus a lot. We turn our back and walk away from him. But does Jesus ever turn his back and walk away from you? The answer is no. I mean, God isn't like that. God is always faithful to his promises. The word always is a big word. What does it mean? Forever, without exception. And that's why it seems that the church asks you to do unreasonable things. How many years have you been married? 50 exactly. Now, if this guy decided tomorrow to run away with your neighbor's wife, what would you think of him? What would you think of him? Not any good. He wouldn't think good things. and you have a right to be very upset. But she said, thank you, Father. But would you ever have the right to walk away from him? No. Because you promised to love him as Jesus loves you, and Jesus never walks away from you, even if you walk away from him. You see how significant Catholic marriage is. You promise to love your spouse in the way that Jesus loves us. And that's expecting a whole lot. I mean, in the world around us, if this guy walked away from you after 50 years, you have a right to turn around and walk away with your neighbor's husband, right? But that's not the way of Jesus, and that's not the way of God. God is faithful to us. And that's why we rejoice as a church. I mean, to be faithful for 50 years is an extraordinary thing. Be faithful for 25 years. In fact, in our world, to be faithful for more than 1 or 2 years is pretty significant. And unfortunately, it's getting worse. You know, the statistics around marriage are getting much worse. A lot of people don't get married now. I don't know if I have the figures exact, but it's around 40% of people who have children in our world, in the United States today, are not married. They never make a commitment to one another. They're waiting for something to happen. I don't know what it is, but they're waiting to really mean it. But sometimes they never mean it. So people have a hard time making any commitment. To make the commitment to love like Jesus loves is a huge kind of thing. And that's why I'm grateful to you for being faithful to him. Now, if he does run away from you, you better stay faithful to him. You got it. Okay, that's good. Okay. Now, I don't expect that to happen because you're sitting in the front row, you know. So, you see what? This is so important. And in some ways, the reason why the younger generation can't make those commitments is because so many of us in the older generations have been unfaithful to the commitment. So many of their own parents are divorced today. And they don't know that people can mean forever. So they don't bother. The best thing we can ever do as a gift to our children is to be images of faithful marriage. You know, I often say that the greatest gift a man can give to his children is to love their mother. And of course, the greatest gift that a wife can give her children is to love her husband. Because that's what we need to be happy, stable, confident human beings. We need our parents to love each other and to know that they'll do that forever. And that gives us the ability to do the same. So thank you very much for the example of your married life, and the church celebrates that in our Mass this evening. Now, it's impossible for us as human beings to do that without the help of God. And that brings us face-to-face with today's scripture reading. I'd like to talk just about today's gospel. This is from the Gospel of St. John. And in the Gospel of St. John, there are 7 times when Jesus uses the phrase, I am. Last Sunday, if you went to Mass, you heard Jesus say, I am the good shepherd. And each time Jesus uses one of those images, he's telling us something about himself, and usually about his relationship with us. In today's gospel passage, Jesus says, I am the vine, and you are the branches, and my Father is the vine dresser. Now, those agricultural images are sometimes hard for those of us from major cities to understand. There are some people in the Philadelphia area who have vineyards or have some vines in their backyard, but not too many of us. But try to picture what Jesus is telling us. He's telling us that his relationship with us is the same as the relationship of a vine with its many branches. What does the vine do for the branches? It gives the branches sap, which is energy and food that give the branches life. And if the branches are broken off the vine, what happens to them? You've seen it. They dry up and they die. It doesn't take long either, does it? I mean, if you just, let's say you break a twig off a tree, it's generally dead in 24 hours. I mean, it just dies. It withers and it dries up. And Jesus is telling us that our life, our spiritual life, which is the most important part of who we are, will end and dry up if we separate ourselves from Him. So the question I ask you is, what's your relationship with Jesus? Are you a broken twig, or are you united to the vine? And how do we stay united to the vine? By paying attention to the vine. You know, it's called prayer. It's called the sacraments. You know, Jesus comes to us. He gives us a share in His life through the sacraments and through the scriptures and through our prayer life. So we need to pay attention to our relationship with Jesus. He also tells us in this reading that His Father is the vine dresser. Now, what do vine dressers do? Another image that's hard for us to naturally understand. Well, vine dressers are like surgeons. Have you ever had surgery? You know, I had a knee replacement about 2 years ago. It was very, very painful. You know, they took out my knee and replaced it with a piece of metal. But after about 6 weeks, my knee felt so much better than it had felt for 15 years. You know. So that initial pain, the surgery, was followed by healing, which in some ways gave me a whole new start in life, which is an extraordinary thing. Jesus' Father is the vine dresser who does surgery on you and on me. Jesus says He cuts away what's already dead, and then He prunes. Have you ever done any pruning? You know, pruning isn't just kind of like a haircut. It's much more like cutting things more radically. But when you do that, wonderful things happen. You form a beautiful plant by pruning. If you prune a grapevine, it means you cut off some of the straggling clusters so that the real cluster can grow and be wonderful grapes. And so in our lives, there are sometimes difficult situations, right? You know. Let's use marriage as an example. Now, most of you probably had some moment in your life when it looked like your marriage was in trouble, when you stopped communicating with your spouse, or maybe you were having difficulty at your job and that caused tension in your family. I mean, there's all kinds of examples we can use. Or let's say you had cancer. And there was a time when you didn't know if you were going to live, or your husband didn't know if you were going to live, and things were upset and difficult, or your children were using drugs. You didn't ever think they'd graduate from high school or from college. You know all those kind of things that take place in all of our families' lives. But sometimes those are moments of pruning, where difficult things make us better. They really do make us better. And they make your children better, and they make your relationship with your spouse better. So not everything that's painful is bad, just as not everything that's pleasurable is good. And sometimes the pain leads to much, much better life. Jesus' death on the cross is an example of that. It's through His death that we come to share in eternal life. Because God is not just the pruner, but He's our Father who prunes us. And we know our fathers love us. So fathers, your image, your children's image of God is based a whole lot on what you're like. So it's pretty big responsibility, isn't it, to be the image of God in the life of your children. So, have confidence. You have God on your side. You know, He's given you the privilege of being the image of His Son. And your marriages are symbols of Christ's love for His church. Now, after I finish, which I'm going to do right now, I'm going to ask you to stand and look your spouse in the eyes. Maybe you don't want to do that. Sometimes that's embarrassing and difficult to do. But I want you to at least hold each other's hands and renew your marriage promises. And try to mean it with your whole heart. My prayer is that God gives you happiness and health and strength, and that your marriage will be better now than it's ever been before. Happy anniversary.